Do you ever get frustrated with the news? I mean, do you get frustrated because you think, that's not what's going on? That is not true. I just heard this. What are they trying to do? And not only that, do you get frustrated with the news, but you get frustrated with the leaders of this world, and you think, what are they doing? Do you know if I didn't understand the sovereignty of God, I'd be in a twit, an absolute twit. What about you? Honestly, because of my personality, I think if I didn't understand the sovereignty of God, I mean, my insides would just be grinding. I know that it would affect my body. If I did not understand and could not relax in the fact that there is a God in heaven whose sovereignty rules over all. Well, this is what we're studying as we look at Daniel chapter 4. Now, in Daniel chapter 4, Daniel has revealed to Nebuchadnezzar what is going to happen to him. He says, I wish it were going to happen to your enemies. I wish it were going to happen to your adversaries. But this is what's going to happen to you. God's going to reduce you. And for 7 periods of time, and that's 7 years, for 7 periods of time, you are going to be like an animal crawling around on the ground, eating the grass of the field, having a mind that's not even a mind of a man, but a mind of an animal. Your hair is going to grow like feathers. Your nails are going to become like claws. I know this because I've read on in Daniel chapter 4. This is what's going to happen to this great, great king. And yet, after 7 periods of time, after 7 years, he's going to be restored to his senses. All of this is simply to get him to understand, hey, a sovereign God has put you in this position. And you have not recognized that. You have not acted responsibly. You have not humbled yourself. You think that you accomplished all of this on your own. And you don't understand that it is God that has used you. And because of that, I'm going to have to reduce you to an animal. But in reducing him to an animal, he came to his senses and he saw who God was. So anytime calamity comes into your life, beloved, as a child of God, don't push it off as an enemy. But you can rejoice. You can count it all joy when you encounter these kind of trials, because you know that that trial is going to work in you until you are conformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. If you'll listen. If not, and you resist, then God will have to bring another trial if you're his child. He has to bring us to that point of submission to him. This is where we're supposed to live. In humility, in trust, not in pride. Well, remember in 612, God used Nebuchadnezzar to bring down Assyria. In 586 BC, God used Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Jerusalem. He allowed this man to destroy his people. I want to take you for just a moment to a minor prophet by the name of Habakkuk. And when you go to Habakkuk, and he's hard to find, and obviously he's hard to find because I couldn't find him right away. But when you go to Habakkuk, Habakkuk asked God a question. He says, how long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? He says, how long will I cry to thee violence and yet you don't save? He says, why do you make me see iniquity and why do you cause me to look on wickedness? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. He's describing the status of the nation. the status of the nation of Israel. And he says, therefore, the law is ignored. Justice is never upheld. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. Does that sound like today? Does that sound like the United States of America? Yes, it does. And then God speaks to him. And he says, look among the nations, observe, be astonished and wonder. He says, because I'm already at work. I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. He says, for behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans. I'm raising up the Babylonians. Well, that's what we've seen. From 605 BC, we have seen what God has been doing with Nebuchadnezzar. We've come up to this point now of 586 BC where he's destroyed him, which comes after this passage. But I want you to see how he describes the Chaldeans. I want you to get a glimpse of Babylon. Babylon was the most magnificent city in the world, but it was a city of decadence. It was a city of brutality. It was a city of just blatant immoral living. It was a city that was living just opposite of how God expects people to live. And it was a city of violence. I mean, they treated people violently in that city. Why? He says, I am raising up, listen to the character of the Babylonians. I am raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth. Now we've been seeing how the Babylonians marched throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. And that's what they were doing. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and their authority, now listen, originate within themselves. I mean, they think that they're doing it. They make the laws. They don't regard other people's laws. They have no respect for integrity and justice and righteousness. It says their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. Now, remember, the symbol of Babylon was this lion with two wings. I don't want you to forget that. I mean, I don't want you to forget that, because wait until we get into the total prophetic section of Daniel. This is going to go, you're going to say, ooh, when you read this passage. It says, all of them come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings. Rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress, and they heap up rubble to capture it. In other words, they look at a fortress, they go and get the rubble, they build a siege mound, and they go in over the walls and they take the city. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on. Now listen carefully. But they will be held guilty, those whose strength is their God. Now listen, if your strength is your God, God's going to hold you guilty. If your strength, your position, your power is your God, and that's what you're exerting, and that's what you're relying on, God's going to hold you guilty. Well, when Habakkuk hears this, Habakkuk says, art thou now from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we will not die. I know you will not destroy us because you're a covenant-keeping God. O Lord, thou has appointed them to judge. And thou, O rock, you never change, you never move, has established them to correct. Thine eyes are too pure to approve evil, and thou cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why dost thou look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked are swallowed up, those more righteous than they? Why have you made men like the fish of the sea, like the creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring them all together with a hook. They drag them away in their nets, and they gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. They offer sacrifice to their net, and they burn incense to their fishing net. They think that it's those gods that have gotten them this power. and they don't know you. He says, will they therefore continually empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? No, God's going to bring them to a halt. God's going to bring them to a halt. So when you listen to the news and you hear and you're so frustrated with these rulers and what they're doing and the blindness and their disregard of God and their lack of respect, you can know this, beloved, a sovereign God sits in the heavens. He will hold them guilty. They will not get away with it. And his ultimate purpose will be accomplished because his sovereignty rules over all. God does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay God's hand, and none can say unto him, what are you doing, God? You can't say it legitimately because God knows what he's doing. You're the one that doesn't know. You can only see as far as your nose. You don't know how long you're going to breathe. You don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know how you're going to die. You even may try to commit suicide. But listen, if you don't succeed, it's because God didn't let you succeed, because Jesus holds the keys to hell and death. God is sovereign. We're going to see some wonderful verses on all this that are going to encourage you. The next passage I want to take you to is to show you the destruction of Tyre. 612, Babylon destroyed Assyria. 586, he destroyed Jerusalem. He destroyed the kingdom of Judah. And now in 572 BC, he destroys Tyre. You say, what does that have to do with the whole picture? Well, remember, he's going to destroy, a little bit later, he's going to destroy Egypt. So let's look at it and see why. Ezekiel chapter 29 verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 17. It says, now in the 27th year, in the first month, which would be the month of Nisan, on the first of the month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made his army labor hard against Tyre. Every head was made ball, and every shoulder was rubbed bare. I mean, that's how hard they labored. But he and his army had no wages from Tyre for the labor that he had performed against it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will carry off her wealth and capture her spoil and seize her plunder, and it will be wages for his army. It's incredible, isn't it? Just when you read this and see how God rules over the nations, I have given him the land of Egypt, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, for his labor which he performed because they acted against me. Tyre acted against me. And so I sent Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, against Tyre, but they didn't come out with much. So now I'm going to give him Egypt. He says, on that day, I shall make a horn sprout for the house of Israel, and I shall open your mouth in their midst. Then they will know that I am the Lord. What is the purpose of all these things and all these judgments and what's going on in these countries? We'll talk about it when I come back.
We spent 3.5 hours in the Word today, and it flew by because we're doing so much in observing so many different parts of the text. It changed my life and helped me own my faith instead of depending on people for my faith. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's even considering it or has thought about it, please come, because it'll change your life.
Go to precept.org/bootcamp to register today. What would it look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we are offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org/Jonah to find out more.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
The purpose of all these events, the purpose of wars, the purpose of famines, the purpose of pestilence, the purpose of drought, the purpose of floods, the purpose of earthquakes, the purpose of all these things, beloved, is to bring us to our knees, to humble us, to show us that God is God, so that we might know, as Ezekiel said, that, as God said, I am the Lord. So whenever calamity drives you to your knees, your first words ought to be, oh God, I am impotent, I am impotent. But you are omnipotent, you are all powerful, I am powerless, and I'm coming to you because there's no way I can help myself. There's no way I can get myself out of this situation. There's no way that I can supply what I need. I've done it all, I've tried it all. You've brought me low, and now I know that there is none but you who can rescue me, who can deliver me. Oh, beloved, whatever it takes to bring us to our knees is called the goodness of God. It says the goodness of God leads us to repentance, leads us to change our mind about who we are and who God is, so that we are humbled. Well, this is what Nebuchadnezzar was about to experience. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 4. In Daniel chapter 4, it says in verse 29, 12 months later, 12 months from his dream, he was walking on the roof. He says, I was walking on the roof. He was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I have built for myself as a royal residence by the might of my power and by the glory of my majesty? Now, you have to understand that Babylon was just absolutely incredible. They believe that when he went out and looked at Babylon and he said, is this not a city that I have built, that I have been made great? It was a great city. I mean, I'm going to tell you some more about the city later, but I just want you to know that one of the things was Babylon contained one of the 7 wonders. It was one of the 7 wonders of the world. And it was this because Nebuchadnezzar married Amytis, and Amytis was from Persia. And Amytis was there in Babylon, and remember, that's Iraq. You've seen pictures of Iraq. But she missed the hills. She missed the waterfalls. She missed the gardens. And he was afraid that she was going to leave him. And so what did he do? He built one of the 7 wonders of the world. He built the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. You see, he restored his father's palace, and he built 2 more palaces on top of that. As a matter of fact, If you would go to Babylon today, you would see what Saddam Hussein started to build. He started to rebuild the city of Babylon. He rebuilt a palace that was like Nebuchadnezzar's palace. You say, well, how do we know that it was like Nebuchadnezzar's palace? Because of all the archaeological discoveries that they have made and all the records that they kept. I mean, when you look at this city, it had a procession street that was an absolute knockout. And at the northern side of that procession street, there were these huge, huge walls with all, it was enameled. And it was absolutely, absolutely incredible. As a matter of fact, let me just look at my notes so that I can tell you what those, what that procession street was like. It was 2/3 of a mile long. It was 70 feet wide. It had walls decorated by enameled bricks showing 120 lions and 575 dragons and bulls. And these animals were carved to scale on that beautiful enamel wall. In the city, there was a seven steps pyramid called a ziggurat. It was 288 feet high. On the top was the temple of Marduk. And it had a statue of Marduk that was made, they said, of solid gold. It weighed 52,000 pounds. Now, this information is given to us by a Greek historian who wrote in the 5th century B.C. It was Herodotus, and he is the one that gives us this information. So this was an absolutely awesome city. Now, we're going to talk about the fortifications of this city later. But he looked at it, and he says, I've made it. I've done it. And then it says, while the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty, your rulership has been removed from you. And you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is the ruler over the realm of mankind, and He, God, bestows it on whomever He wishes. Now, do you remember what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2 when he went to God to find out what Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed and to get the interpretation of that dream? And he prayed and he sought God, not relying on his own wisdom, but seeking God in prayer. And when God gave him that insight, that revelation of the dream, then Daniel answered and said this, and I'm in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belongs to Him. It is He who changes the times and the epochs, the ages. He removes kings and establishes kings. He removes kings and establishes kings. And that's what he had just done. He had just removed Nebuchadnezzar from power until he recognized that the Most High is the ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Verse 33, immediately. Now listen, he's standing there in all of his glory, he's standing there in all of his splendor. And he's looking at this and he's rejoicing. He's at home. He's flourishing. He's prospering. And he's at home and he's at the height. He's at the pinnacle and he's enjoying everything. And instantly a voice comes from heaven, and immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like the cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers. Have you ever noticed, girls, that you have to shave your legs more in the summer than you do in the winter? Why? There's more and moisture in the air. It says his excuse me, guys, his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Catch the picture. Here is the great Nebuchadnezzar, who has conquered all these kingdoms, who has prospered incredibly down on the ground, eating the grass of the field, the green dribble coming down out of the corner of his mouth, his hair just like feathers, his nails so grotesquely long, and he's out of his mind, and he stays that way for 7 years. People have said that they thought that this was a disease, lycanthropy, which was a disease where people went out of their mind. It says, but at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever and ever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But he, God, does according to his will in the host of heaven. We're going to look at it in our next program. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can ward off his hand. If God decides to move, no one can stop it. And no one can say to him, what hast thou done? Because no matter what ire you have, no matter what anger and dismay or anything, no matter how you rage, it's not going to change God. God is sovereign. It's not to change God. It's you who needs to be changed. And that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar after he was reduced to this kind of an animal, so to speak, with the mind of a beast for 7 years. It says, at that time, my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom, and my counselors and my nobles began seeking me out. So I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now listen, if this happened in 570 or 569, then it's after that that he goes down and conquers Egypt. Isn't that interesting? And so it says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true. Now listen, this is a man that's been reduced by God, and he says, and his ways are just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Rest, beloved. He is sovereign. Just humble yourself and receive it all from him.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.